A Pentecost Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on June 3, 2001, in the series Credo, entitled As Intimate as Breathing. The texts for the sermon are Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, and John 14, verses 15 through 20. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
On this Pentecost, I want to say that God is as intimate as your breathing, that God is in you and you are in God. And that is good news. You don't have to look elsewhere, out there, up there. You don't have to wonder. You can be assured God is in you and God will be with you always. I don't watch television. I should, because it's a good connector to contemporary culture, and one who preaches as I do ought to get his nose out of a theology book once in a while and see what people are thinking about. But I understand that the dramatic series West Wing, in its finale, had some serious theology about it. Well, so the reporter in the Grand Rapids Press said in yesterday's edition, and as I read that, I recognized that I probably had missed something to which I should have been attuned. Serious theology, it was called. The West Wing drama series is a fictionalized White House setting with a president, Jed Bartlett, who is apparently a very religious, deeply Christian man. And he's having one of those days which we all have once in a while, although for a president, I suppose, there are a few more dimensions to it. Embassy in Haiti, hostages taken, a tropical storm bearing down in Washington, D.C. He's on his way to a funeral of his secretary, who was killed in an accident hit by a drunken driver. He's just revealed that he's got multiple sclerosis after 8 years of denying it. It's just not a good day for the president. And so he goes to the National Cathedral for the funeral, and after the funeral asks that the doors be sealed because this man, who is seriously Christian, has some things to say to God. And he becomes very much like one of those Old Testament prophets who rails against heaven. He cries out against God. All of these actions that are going on, he says to God, are those the actions of a caring God, of a just God, of a benevolent God, a wise God? Well, to hell with your punishments. I've served you, I've proclaimed your word and done your work, and now to hell with your punishments. To hell with you! He curses God. And because it's the season's finale, and that's not a nice way to end a season, the secretary who has been killed appears in angelic form to say to him, come now. You know God doesn't cause cars to crash. And he begins to remember all the work there is yet to be done. And like the Old Testament prophets, he gets up and gets back at it. And the journalist says, serious theology on primetime TV. Well, true. The railing against God, as I said, that's got good, particularly Old Testament precedent. The shaking of the fist at heaven, the outpouring of an anguished heart or an angry heart, Who hasn't been there? Who hasn't done it? And God can take it, as it were. I mean, it's not the problem with God, but it is a way that we humans react in the midst of our misery and our tragedy. There seems to be something almost endemic in us that in the midst of that kind of crisis, it causes us to cry out, shake our fist at heaven, to plead, cajole, whatever. And yet, that is an image of God that really won't wash anymore. Our knowledge and our human experience today tell us that that ancient conception of a God out there who's running the universe, no. No, that won't work anymore. I think the emotional response, probably written into our genetic code, probably out of the early dawn of what it was to be human, confronted with the mysteries and the tragedies that are a part of the human scene, probably still find utterance in that kind of a call on primetime TV 2001. And yet I have to say, that presentation on West Wing is very much a biblical view, isn't it? It's a supernaturalistic view of things. There is this realm, this world, this universe, and there's another where God dwells. There is the ongoing drama of nature, and there is one above nature who controls nature and intrudes into nature. And on this Pentecost Sunday, we would have to say in the Gospel of John, Jesus is the Word made flesh, who comes from the Father and who returns to the Father and who promises, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you, I will send another advocate or spirit to be with you. So West Wing is not only consonant with something that's intuitive in the human being, but also reflected in the biblical story. Too bad we can't believe it anymore. Because it's really counter to everything we know about the way things work, about our world, the cosmic drama, about the human being. There was something comforting about it. Somebody up there in control. Somebody pulling the strings, working the gears, and interrupting the process on occasion. But I suppose the angel visitant at the end of the drama on West Wing, which not only gave the season finale a softer touch and a bit of hope, a little sentimentalism and a little romanticism, don't we all love angels? But it was also an admission. Once we think about it, we know better. God doesn't cause cars to crash. We're on our own. There was a time, because I was nurtured in that biblical story, as were all of you, that I thought in terms of a natural realm and a supernatural realm. But I know now that that just doesn't work. That the God, whatever God may be, will be experienced and known in that total phenomenon out of which we're a part called nature. And in terms of that ancient cosmology, I now must move to that which we understand. And that is that there was a moment some, 15 billion years ago when all of matter and energy was concentrated into one little infinitely small point? I can't understand that. I'm only telling you what I've heard. But I think that is the best scientific understanding of things today, that everything that is, this total universal system, all of the galaxies, all of the stars and the planets, the earth, the trees, the oceans, the mountains, and you and I are all the consequence of that which was all in a point, in a moment. And that explosion in that infinite time past is still expanding, so that this drama of which we're a part is underway. And someone has said, if you would compress those 15 billion years into 1 year, then the appearance of the human being would be in the last minute or two. I can't take that in. But when I think about God and cosmos, God and human being, then it seems to me that scientific picture is a picture which would indicate that the whole of reality must somehow or other be permeated by that divine presence, that sacred, that holy, call it God if you will, not out beyond it somewhere, but within it. God as intimate as breathing. Even though the Bible is solidly supernatural and the day of Pentecost is an invasion from beyond, nonetheless, there are little hints in the biblical story itself. For the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us, so that God is in the human, celebrated at Christmas. And Pentecost is a celebration of the presence of the Spirit of God, or the breath of God within us. In John's Gospel, you'll know, I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and you in me. How do you intellectually understand that mysterious language? Isn't it a stammering attempt to hint at the fact that God is not out there, but in here? You know, graduates, if I were in your spot, if I had your youthful energy, your razor-sharp minds, and all of your years, you know what I'd do? I wouldn't go to seminary. Because there's hardly a seminary alive that isn't still teaching that old biblical supernaturalistic understanding of God. If you would pursue God passionately, or if I were you and I wanted to pursue God passionately, I'd become an astronomer, a physicist, I'd study cosmology. Because for years I've known and always said I should write a dissertation on the fact which you can trace a shift in cosmological understanding, the nature of the universe, a shift there is reflected eventually in a shift in theological understanding. It can be traced down through the eons of the Christian story. Change the conception of the universe, of the cosmos, of nature, and eventually, well, it takes the church a long time, but eventually, what we come to know impacts how we image what we believe. And so let me tell you the good news. God is not against you. And to be spiritual is not to swim against the tide, but rather it is to move with the grain of the universe. For what is coming to expression, what is emerging in this drama of billions of years, is spirit. Think of it. An explosion 15 billion years ago, the cooling of that soupy chaos, the coming into formation of the stars, the galaxies, eventually life, conscious life. Conscious life that, here we are, reflecting on it all. That's amazing. How many generations before us could have some vista of 15 billion years of a drama that is still occurring as we speak and within us? And then this conscious life developing a spiritual dimension, a dimension of spirit, breath, which is the enlivening of the whole by the God who is not out there somewhere grinding the gears of the universe to be railed at, but the God who is to be sensed in the stillness, in our very breathing. God present to us, in us. That God. Someone has said it so beautifully, speaking of you, offspring of the stars, children of earth, we are great mothering nature's soul space, her heart and vocal cords, and her willingness, if we consent to it, to be spirited, to be the vessel of the Holy One. God is not out there. God is in here. And you are a vessel of the Holy One, full of spirit. And our task together is to make this world civil, decent, full of love and grace. God, as intimate as breathing.